Boker Tov, today's daf in Masechet Kiddushin is daf Samach Vov. We're in the middle of the sugya, which is dealing with the question of the ne'emanut and the placement of Edim, whether they are there because we need proof, or there's also a role that Edim play under certain circumstances in which they are necessary, not for proof, even if we know 100% what happened. It wouldn't matter if there were no Edim, such as where we learn out Dover Dover from We found that there was a machlokes benogea, the question of whether, since b'divrei momonos, an aid echad who is kosher can be mechayev shvua. So the question was raised whether that would be also acceptable in terms of the dinim of erva, that the aid echad also should create isurin. So that we discussed yesterday. And that was one of the issues. Remember, we also had the question about the ne'emanut of the av, that was a chiddush hakro, et biti natati li'ishazeh. We also had a question of whether there was a din mirabonan of ne'emanut ha'em, the same way that they extended the rights of a mother to kiddushin. We also talked about the issue of shavyan av shechaticha di'isura, where a person can create isurim on himself. We talked about the question of whether that Eid Echad, if you hold it an Eid Echad, is viable in terms of in Yonei Erva, to some extent, would he have to be an Eid Kosher? And we finally get today to the other element that we left untouched, which was the question of what is the din of Eid Echad Ne'eman B'Isurin? That's a general halacha, which obviously is not directly part of the contradiction to the idea of Davar. Dover for dinim of erva. We're over there. There's a different halacha that the Torah is makbid on an actual presence of the edus in order to make it happen. But, of course, we need to understand where this other halacha kicks in. In other words, at what point would somebody be neman, even though he has no particular nemanus, and he's only an eid echad, and he may not even be a kosher eid echad, because when we're talking about eid echad, neman b'isurin, basically, anyone is Nema B'Isurin. If somebody is allowed to feed you food and you're allowed to be Samech on that food if you believe the guy is for real, and even though how do you know it's kosher food and so on and so forth, everything is based on that. All of our interchanges are based on that in the Torah. So we need to understand what the limitations are on the Eid Echad Nema B'Isurin. Is he Nema to be Matir? Is he Nema only to Aser? And so on and so forth. So that brought us up to the bottom of Samechei Amud Beis. Om Rabbi. If somebody says to someone, you ate chelev, and he doesn't deny it. Now this introduces a new issue, which is eid echad ne'eman b'isurin even where the person says, no, it's not true? Or is it only where we have the additional element of, since the person doesn't deny it, that gives credence to what it is that the eid said? Okay. That we have to see, because here it says, according to Abaya, only if the other guy doesn't deny it. Hala shotek. So then he would be Ne'eman. And, says Abaya, I can prove this. It's a Tana. This is not me. The Tana Tuna. Here we have, basically, the Tana saying exactly what I said. Omar lo eid echad, achalta chelev, v'hala omer lo achalti. Potter. So in a case where an eid echad says to someone and he denies it, you ate chelev, if he denies it, so then he's potter. But doesn't that show, says Abaye, that the only reason he's potter from a korban is taima di omar lo? It's because he says, I did not. But suppose he would have been ishtik, he would have been Ne'eman. So therefore you see that my concept is absolutely correct. We're not worried about a problem of chulin ba'azorah. And we go ahead and we bring a carbon. Now, this is a major machlokas here between Rashi and Taisus, because the question is, it says in the Torah that the only time that you bring a carbon chatas is where, oh, huda, I love chatato asher chata. So the Torah says the person has to find out about the chait on his own. Oh, huda, I love means it becomes known to him, meaning that he realizes now. In which case, if somebody else tells you something, then we should not really be able to bring a carbon. So Rashi says it's going according to the Shita that says that the din is lo shiodi'u acherim, means where he denies it. However, Tosfos says, no, that's not true. If the person would have said, the idea over here is, these words that say lo achalti, where the Tana said, Dafka, where he said lo achalti, what if he would have said, I don't know anything about it? Is that the same as hakhosh or not? Now, according to Rashi, it most certainly is not. Because if he says, I don't know, then that is indeed, here's your chance to know. Aye, it says, Odai lav katato on his own. That means that he's not makrish. That's how Rashi learns. Tosus learns that the point is that the same halacha would be true if he would have said, I have no idea. He would also be potter, because that's not included in the pasuk of Oda elav katato. This is somebody else telling you that you have to bring that korban. The only reason that it says lo achalti is because, as Tosus explains, that later on we're going to have the case of two people who say achal techela. So over there, you might have thought, who cares how many people? The point is that in neither case is it hodai lav chatato, because it was found out through other agencies and not through himself. Therefore, you should know that the Gemara explains that if two edim can be mechayev you achiev of misa, so then obviously they could be mechayev you a korban, no? That's for sure, that's included in the chiyav. So they, oh, dai, lav chatato, that means, as Tosus explains, that it has to become known through your actual discovery of the facts and or through two edim, which is the same as the discovery of the facts. Okay, so this little piece is a major difference. How do we understand the Gemara that says, mashma, that if he is ishtik, he's mehaman? So we have three levels in which the person could say it's true, in which the person could say, I have no idea, in which the person can just be quiet, and then, of course, there's hakosha. Call that a fourth level, which he says, I know absolutely that that's not true. So certainly, if it's hakosha, we do not believe in Eid Echad. If we have an Eid Echad, and there's just a statement of, I have no idea, then it's a machlokas Rashi and Taisus. If the person says is simply quiet, then we have this new idea, which appears to be based on shtika kahoda'a, which we'll see whether that is really the only basis of believing that when somebody is quiet, it's as if he's saying, yes, you're right, I know. Next case, so that's case one. You ate chalev, you bring a korban. Another case, the Amar Abaye. I'll give you another case. Suppose amarlo edecha nitmu taharotecha. I saw your peres becoming tamein. And the other guy says, nothing. Now here too, Tosfos says that it's got to be talking about that the person would have an ability to say, this person, the eid said, b'fanecha nitmu. Same thing is true by the achal techelev. This is how Tosfos understands it. But in any event, the guy doesn't say anything. And I'll prove it to you that he would be ne'eman, the eid echad, from this Mishnah. Eid echad omer nitmu, v'hala omer lo nitmu. That in a case where the guy denies it and he says, what are you talking about? Absolutely not. I know for a fact that my taharot were never tame. Then the halacha is that ein achinami, it says potter over here, but it doesn't mean potter in this brisa. As I said, Mishnah, I mean brisa. It doesn't mean potter, it means tahar, which is actually the lashon in several places. So from here we see that the only reason that the food is tahar is because the person said no. I know that they're not. But if he had just been quiet, he would have been Ne'eman. So you see again, says Abaye, that you're Ne'eman. And another case, a third case. Vomer Abaye. Let's say an Eid Echad says to someone, Shorcha Nirba, so that your Shor is Usser and has to be, so what would be the din? If we had two Eidim, it would have to be Niskal, because we're talking about a sodomized Shor. And the din is that if you have only one Eid, so then, is there a din of Isser on such a shor? Only for Hegdash. So the halacha is that that's that extra pasuk that we have, Mishor, which tells me not every animal is mutter to the Mizbeach, and that includes an Eid Echad that says this animal was used for sexual purposes, and because of that, it cannot be brought on the Mizbeach. Doesn't mean anything else, because we obviously can't take the shor and kill it based on an Eid Echad, because we know that kedin habalim kach din ashar, that there compares the owner's halacha in terms of rights in the courtroom and the shor. But The eight is saying you can't use it as a korban, and it says over here that he's Ne'eman, and I can prove it, says Abaya, from this one is a Mishnah. Sure, Shenevda bo Avera, Vushehemit, so if I know that it was used for an Avera or that it killed a person, so then if it's only Alpi Eidachat, or it's Alpi HaBa'alim, so then the only Isser would be not to use it as a korban. But of course you cannot use it, you cannot kill it or anything, there's no other Isser on it. So because of that, it would be Neman, says Abaya, and look what it says over here. How do we understand Alpi Eidachat? What does it mean? Are the owners admitting that it's true? So then what do I need the Eidachat? That would be the case of Alpi Ba'alim, right? And we said already that if it boils down to the belief in the owner, then there's no halacha, but just b'nogia, the din of the paslos for the mizbeach. So then why do we need over here to say the aid? If we already have Alpi Ba'alim, it must be El Alav the Shatik. So it must be talking, says Abaya, that the case is either Alpi Ba'alim, where he admits this happened, or where he had nothing to say when the eight said that your shor is also to the mizbeach. So again, I prove to you that an eight echad is neman beisurin wherever there is no hakrosha, according to Rashi, wherever there is shtika. Now, that means we've got three separate statements by Abaya that all say the same thing. Why did Abaya feel that he had to say these three different cases? So that we have the case of the bringing a korban for eating chalev, and we have the case of the nitmutarotecha, and we have the last case that we just had about your shor is also from the mizbeach, vitzrich. We need all three cases, because let's say Abaye would only have said hachkamaita, the first case where he said you ate chalev. So there we could say that if the person that is the supposed eater of the chalev, yilav the kimle ben afshida avad, if he weren't absolutely sure on his own that he ate chalev, he would never bring a korban because he would know that maybe I'm bringing chulin ba'azora. And he wouldn't have taken a chance. And if he didn't eat chalev, then that means that anything that I'm bringing over here is mamish and isser d'iraisa. How can I do it? I'm bringing machlokas, but it's an absolutely usser to bring it in. But I'm going to do another avera. So he wouldn't have taken that chance. It must be that he knows. But the second case of Nitmu Tarotecha, no, I could say over there the reason that he doesn't say anything, Haida Shatik, is because he says, well, am I going to go make a case over it? The guy says it was Tomei, all right, you know, I could still use the food even though it's Tomei. I mean, there's plenty of times where even though generally I'm very makbid and I don't eat food that's Tomei, but I mean, there's times when I'm Tomei. So for those times, I'll eat that food, like, what's the big deal? Okay, so maybe therefore he says, you know, say what you want. And if I would have known that case also, I would have said, okay, that's because Mishum Dekom Afsid Le'ibimei Taharato, this reason over there I might have said is that if the guy, I would have said, look, I mean, I can't use it 90% of the time, I'm gonna shut up. So it must be shut up because it was really that he thought it was Tame, right? But in the case of Shoro Nishba, the guy says to himself, okay, so what are the implications of this eight? He's saying, I can't bring the shor to the mizbeach, you know? I really wasn't planning on bringing the shor to the mizbeach. So the guy says to himself, nu, kol ha-shvarim lav l'gavi mizbeach kaimei. What, every shor in the world was meant to be brought to the mizbeach? This is my shor I was never planning to. I don't have to sit here and argue with a guy who's talking about things that are totally irrelevant. Because of that, I need Abaya to say no. In all three cases, the shtika itself is considered to be hodah. Now the question is, aha. So now we've established that there's an idea called Eidach Nema Bisurin. Suppose somebody says, your wife was sleeping with this other guy. I saw it, an Eidach. And the husband doesn't say anything. So what's the din? Do we say that in this case, there's a halacha of, no, Dvar Erva, Matzaba Dvar Erva is only with Shnei Eidim. But with Eid Echad, there's no Isser at all. What's the halacha over there? So Abaye says, we do believe this aid, because since he didn't say anything and he was shasik, so therefore that woman becomes usur. And that's because since he is quiet, so it would mean that the husband basically is accepting it. Now, does that mean that the husband is accepting it? Does it mean that there's an issue of shavya nafshu chaticha di surah, but not really ne'amonis? That's a big machlokas rishoni. So according to Abaye, he's ne'aman. According to Rava, absolutely not. Isn't the fact that a woman would be asura and her husband a davar sheba'erva? And we know that we learned out from the Gzeira Shava of davar davar, ein davar sheba'erva pachot mishnayim. And even if you hold that the pshat is that the shtika is kehida, what difference would that make? We have our Gzeira Shava, and therefore we have to completely ignore one witness. Rabbi, I'll prove to you from an actual event. There was a guy who was blind, and he used to be, whatever they needed, it's like the, I told you about that Taimani janitor in Panovich, where he knew the entire Rambam and the entire Pirush HaMishnayot. He knew everything the Rambam wrote bal peh, as most Taimonim used to. So whenever they needed anything, these were in the old days before there were many Sfarim and before there were computers, obviously. So whenever they would need anything in the Beis HaMedrash, they would go over to the janitor and they would say, like, what's the Rambam say about X, Y, or Z? And he would just quote it verbatim, right? So this guy was a blind guy, so he was basically a Taimani, because the reason the Taimanim knew the Rambam Baal Peh is because they didn't have any books. So they had to learn it together. You've seen the old pictures, right? We've got like five kids surrounding the same book. Some learn how to read upside down, some learn how to read on their side. It's amazing. Anyway, so this blind guy, he was the one that used to say over all of the brises and so on. Whenever they needed anything, he would be basically their Bar Ilan program, right? Okay, so this guy didn't show up one day, you know, which is a disaster. It's like having no electricity in the Beis HaMedrash. You can't even turn on your computers. So this guy wasn't there. So Shmuel sent one of the Talmidim, go find this guy. What's going on over here? So Yom Echad Nogaleh V'lo Avikati. They see he wasn't showing up on time. So Shara Shlicha Basri. Shmuel sent one of the guys in the yeshiva and go find this guy. Now, meanwhile, there were two roads from this guy's house to the yeshiva. He went on one road. And this guy went on the other road, and they didn't meet up with each other. So the guy that Shmuel had sent actually came to the door of the other man's house, and he finds another man in there with his wife. So when he comes back, meanwhile, the blind man himself had gone on the other road. So Adazur Shliach Bahad Bechadu Urcha, Atayu Bechadu Urcha. And when the Shliach came back, he said to him, listen, I got bad news for you, but I found your wife in bed with another guy. Ishta Ishta Chazinta. So he comes to Mar Shmuel and asks him, so what's the din? Do I have to divorce her or not? Well, Mar Lei, so Shmuel said, look, Ime Eman Lecha, if you believe this aid, so then go and divorce her. But if you don't believe this aid, then don't divorce her. Now, I understand this is a bias. You may misunderstand what's going on here. So let me explain to you. What do you think that means, if you believe him? Well, it's up to you to believe him. My love. What he's saying is that if you hold that this is a real aid, meaning ima hemen halach, the lav gazlanahu, so remember, we learned before that the only time that we say aid echad is ne'eman, that would be in a case where he has some ne'emanos. In other words, if you know that he's not an aid pasul, so then you'll have to go and divorce her. So why would that be, says Abaye? Why would I have to go and divorce her? Because over here, it's a davar sheba'erva, isn't it? And how in the world would you say that he was mechuyev to divorce her? Must be that I'm right, says Rava. No, no, no. It's not what it means. When it says over here, if you believe the aid, it doesn't mean if you believe that the aid is not a gazlan. It means, if you believe this person, and you think that he's completely trustworthy, then zil afka, then you'll have to divorce her because of your own belief. But ilo lo tafka, if you don't believe it to that level. So he didn't have any kind of ability, legal ability to Azer? Of course not, because you need to aid him. This is a Dvar Erva. However, since you, if you really believe it, so then that would be the same as the idea of Shavyanav Shechatif at the Isura. You hold that this meat is Chelev. You come and you say this meat is Chelev. I think it's Chelev, but not Mitzad, the Din. Because when you go ask the Rav says, no, this is a Sveik-Sveiker. It's not Chelev. You feel it's Chelev. Okay, fine. So then you're not allowed to eat it. But that doesn't mean that it's Aser Mitzad HaDin. It means it's Aser for you. So Ilo Lo Tavka. So Rava says this is not a contradiction to my halacha that there's never a ne'emonis for an Ein Echad in a situation where it's a Nogea Dvar Erva. Okay, says Abba, you don't believe that? I'll bring another proof, okay? Minah Minala. How about this brisa? There was a maisa with Yanai HaMelech. So Yanai HaMelech was one, he was a Kohen, and he was one of the Chashmonaim. And there were all kinds of problems with his kahuna, as we'll see. There were rumors, there were witnesses that his mother had been captured and before he was born, and that she was really asura to a kohen because maybe she was raped by the goyim that had captured her. Anyway, so once happened that he went to Kuchalit and he had a war there, and he was extremely successful. This was Kuchalit Shebamidbar, part of Barnea's neighborhood, undoubtedly, and in that, we don't want, this is Barnea Shosik, notice, I mean, was he Makrish the Eid Echad? No.
I don't know where Kochalit is, but I do have a pruta of Alexander Yana here in the show somewhere, trying to remember where it is.
Okay. So anyway, he goes to this country called Kuchalit, Kivesh Amshishim Krochim, it was such an amazing war. He comes back after capturing 60 different towns. When he came back, he calls all the Talmidei Chachamim, Kol Chachmei Yisrael. He says to them, listen, I want to make a Sudas Hoda'ah on the amazing success of our armies, and to remember that when the Avosenu, who came and rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash, they came back poor as paupers. They had nothing to eat. Any money that came in that they had, they dedicated to rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. And remember how desperate they were. The menorah was made out of wood, l'chatchiler, made out of zinc. And gradually they were able to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash the way it's meant to be. And I look at it today. So they, when they had to build the Beis HaMikdash and had success, the most they could do is they could have some meluchim. They could have these types of grasses or tavlin, things that were barely edible because they had nothing to eat. Those are called meluchim. That's how most understand it. And we should do the same thing. Zechel avotenu, v'helu meluchim al shulchanot shel zahav. So they were so rich that they had mamish gold-plated tables. But on those tables, lezecher, the first returnees from Bavel, they ate meluchim al shulchanot shel zahav, and then they had achlu, they had a whole beautiful sudas hadoya. Now, there was a horrible person there, a yashab echad, an ish late, a cynical mamzer, lev ra, pli ya'al, disgusting person. His name was Elazar ben Poira. And so he says to Yanai HaMelech, Yanai, what, well, you think these guys are happy that you were successful? These are charedim. That this guy was a tzeduki. So he says to Yanai, these guys are charedim. They're not happy when the army of Yisrael is successful. They want the goyim to be successful. These are guys that you should not be celebrating with. Libam shoprushim alecha. These charedim are against you. So Yanai says to him, why? I mean, should I believe you? I mean, what should I do to see if it's true? Maya said, what do you recommend? Oh, says this mamzer, hakem lehem betzit shebeninecha. What you should do, put on the tzitz. Now, what was happening here is that for many years, Yanai, who had the position of melech, was also acting as the Kohen Gadol. And we're going to see that they never complained, even though they were very upset about it, that he should be the Kohen Gadol, as we'll see, because there was rumors about his kashrus for the Kuna Gedela. And Lamaisa, what's fascinating is that any taina that would parcel him from the Kehuna Gedola also parcels him from Malchus. So it was a very serious issue. So they were afraid to start up, and Mitam Yira, they had never said anything. Now he's making this big celebration over here. So then he said to him, this guy, Elazar ben Boira, who was very smart, knew exactly the psychology. So he said, why don't you put on the tzitz? Put on the tzitz, they'll all stand up, and then you'll see what they think about you. So Hakim Lam Batzitz Shebene Necha. Then you'll know. So he puts on the tzitz, and there was a Zaken Echad of the Talmid HaChamim, Yehuda ben Gedidya Shmo, and he says to him, Vayomer Yehuda ben Gedidya LeYanai HaMelech, Yanai HaMelech, you know what? Maybe you should be happy with the fact that you have the crown on your head of Malchus. Leave the Keser Kuna Lazaro Shel Aaron. So why did he say that? Shehayu Omrim Imonish Beit B'Modin, that there was once a Maisa where these Hamasniks got into Modin. This was while his mother was unmarried. This was before Yana. And that she was actually captured. And that means that if we're cautious that she was raped, so then he would be a cholo, because she was even bonus if she had slept with a goy. And then, vayivukasha davar v'lo nimtza. In the end, it turned out that that wasn't true, which we're going to see later on what that means. But at the time that they said this, it wasn't clear, at least according to some of the Rishonim, it wasn't clear what the situation had actually been. And then they were able to find out that it wasn't really true, which is difficult to understand. How can you find out that something wasn't true? I mean, find out something was true. Okay, so this we'll have to say. But essentially, they must have had a basis originally for accepting the fact that he was a Malchus. And then this thing, Elazar ben Poira understood, this is what Ramban understands it. He understood that that would be a tipping point. So in other words, even though they had never said anything, but for him to put on the tzitz outside of the Beis HaMikdash, which, by the way, Tosfos points out over years, that's osur, no? I mean, because even though we say that lo nitna Torah l'malachei hashoreis, remember we had before, and that therefore the Kohanim are not expected to strip off their clothes the instant they finish the Aveda, but that doesn't mean you can put on the tzitz in the middle of a party. But remember that the Rambam learns that that is not true, not about any of the big day kohen, that a kohen is going to be yoved on that day. He is actually allowed, says the Rambam, to wear his clothes that entire day, right? Okay, but according to Rabbeinu Tam, who disagrees with this, he has an amazing chiddush, which is important for us to know. And that is that the tzitz is not like the other big day kohen. Because since it says v'haya al mitzcho tamid, the tamid implies even shelo b'shas aveda. But l'maisa, there was no real iser in this. Okay, so what was the problem? Because of the fact that since it was in the middle of a party and people are drinking, and that was an entirely inappropriate time to put on the tzitz, and that's why he complained. So the Rashba finds the Ramban difficult to believe, because it says over here that the only reason that they were complaining was because they felt he wasn't roid because of his yichus. So how is it because of that? Because it was inappropriate. So they went and created a situation that could have led to disaster, which it did actually lead to disaster. Okay, not so clear. All right, some taina, some of the Chach Mitzvahs taina, that maybe the issue over here was that they thought that since it was Shas Hodaya, and they thought maybe he's in a matzav right now where he could be Mekabel Tochacha, maybe they should at least just say something nice, you know, whatever. If it wouldn't have been for this guy, Elazar ben Poira and Achinami, none of this would have happened. That's why the Gemara blames the whole thing on him. But he very carefully calculated, like, what is going to push Yanai over the edge. So he says, put on the tzitz, and then at that point, they actually complain, you know, why should you be a kosher kohen? Be happy that you're a melech, you know, and leave Zara La'aron the Keser Kahuna. So he threw out all of the Chachmei Yisrael from the party. Now, Yibadol Chachmei Yisrael Bazam, all the Haredim were dumped. So Elazar ben Boira then says to Yanai HaMelech, listen, Yanai HaMelech, I understand that a regular guy that would have been so insulted in the middle of his party, I mean, he would have thrown people out. Okay, kach dina, but you're a melech. You're a kohen gadol. This is the way you treat people that actually publicly insult you and claim that you're not roy to be a melech and a kohen gadol. So Yanai says to him, so what do you recommend? If you listen to me, says this guy, imata shomei latzasi, kill them all. So Yanai says, I should kill all the Talmidei Chachamim. So what's going to happen to the Torah? Torah mata heyaleh. No, says this guy, because he's a tzaduki. The Torah, what's going to be with the Torah? I understand. Isn't there an Aron Kodesh by you? You open up the Aron Kodesh, take out the Sefer Torah, read the Sefer Torah, kol ha'rotze lilmod yavov yilmad. Well, what's the problem? You know, we tzedukim always do that. We open up the holy book, you know. What do you need rabbis for? They just lie anyway. Omer of Nachum bar Yitzchak. At that moment, nizr kabo apikursus. Now that he had a reason to suddenly think, you know what, maybe he's right, you know. At that moment, what should he have said? He should have said, that's all very nice. There's a Sefer Torah. What does that have to do with anything? Tenach Torah shebichtav. What's going to be with the Torah shebal peh? If I'm going to kill all the Chachamim, so how are we ever going to be able to really learn Torah? But instead, he thinks to himself, you know, maybe the guy's right. What do we need rabbis for? They just make trouble. Miyad v'totzit tzara'al yedei Elazar ben Boira. Because of this horrible man, Yargu kol Chachmi Yisrael, sure enough, Yanai killed all of the Talmidei Chachamim. Now, as we know, his wife was the sister of Shimon ben Shetach. And she hid him. So Shimon ben Shetach survived this. As we've seen in many of the other sugyas, when he came back and, you know, was not very not very pleasant to Yanai. Okay. Yahu alam mishtomim. Ad sheba Shimon ben Shetach v'chzir ta Torah l'yoshna. So Shimon ben Shetach, who was the Av Beis Din, so he was able, when he finally was able to come out, he was able to make a Talmidei Chachamim again, and he brought the Torah back to life. Okay. So now, here's why I'm bringing this as a rias, as a baya, okay? Ask yourself, what was going on over here? Did we originally have two witnesses that say that his mother was Asura and that it was Ishtaboy? And then when it says afterwards, and they found out, we looked and we found out that it wasn't true, what would that mean? That we found two witnesses that said, no, she wasn't Ishtaboy. I mean, that's not finding out that it wasn't true. That's just having two witnesses against two witnesses. So, my chazita de samachta hani, smocha hani. In any case where you have an issue of trey utre, that's what you have over here. You have trey utre. And that means that he should remain usher. Now, the question, of course, is why does that mean he should remain usher? His mother had a cheskas kashrus, right? So, his mother's cheskas kashrus should say, unless you have two witnesses without a kosha, how do you take off the cheskas kashrus? So I don't understand why are we assuming this. So Rashi asks this question, and he gives the teretz, the famous teretz, that if the mother had come to Beis Din herself, and the mother had asked whether she is ru'udya to marry a kohen, so then, Enoch Inami, the Beis Din would have passed, can you have a cheskas kashrus? And Trey is not able to take off your cheskas kashrus. But over here, we're not talking about the mother. The mother's not here. The din is on Yanai. Is Yanai a halal or is he not a halal? But Yanai never had a cheskas kashrus. Because the moment that Yanai was born, the mother was still in that state of the Edim that had said that she was puzzled. She hadn't come to Beis Din. So all we need to ask ourselves over here, okay, is there a cheskas kashrus? Show me one moment that Yanai himself was assumed to be kosher. So therefore, since milechatchila there was a suffix, if that's the case, then how is it that we would be semech on it? We can't be semech on, this is a big question, the cheskas aim is mahani labat, and so on, which were big sugyas that we've spoken about in the past. And Tosfos points out that even though we have plenty of cases that Cheskas De'ime helps, and therefore it should be that the Cheskas Ha'im would help him, because it says, remember, L'divrei HaMakshir Ba Makshir Bibita, right? But Tosfos says that's only true in a derabbanan, of Truma derabbanan. Why? Because Trey and Trey creates a suffix. And a suffix derabbanan, we would go Lakula. Mashenken, when it comes to Yuchsin, where we talk about an Isra D'Oraisa, there, the Rabbanan did not accept the Cheskas Ha'im to be Mahani Labat. Fine. As you can see, this is a tremendously rich sugya of issues. But the bottom line is that Abaya says, so it's got to be talking about, if it's not talking about Trey and Trey, it's got to be talking about that there was an Eid Echad. So in other words, originally we had an Eid Echad who said the mother was Nishbes. And then we had two witnesses. And they came along and said, no, ignore the Eid Echad, it wasn't true. So we see that it was Mevurar that it wasn't true. But that's only because in the end it was Mevurar that it wasn't true. V'taymet kama kacha sheilei beit Trei. But if it wouldn't have been for that, we would have believed an Eid Echad, even benogea issues that have to do with Dvar Erva, namely, is he considered to be a halal or not? Because before these new two Eidim came and we said, well, then we found out it wasn't true. So Enochinami says, Abaya, you see that we assumed that Yanai was actually Osir. And this is the same din as a Maisa Erva. Because, I mean, if you're going to believe that the child is a cholol because she was raped, so then why shouldn't you believe a case where somebody says your wife was sleeping with another guy? And you see that the only reason is the kamakacha shele betray. In the end, we say, no, it was not a problem, but that's because we have two witnesses against it. But if we didn't have two witnesses against it, then we would have believed them, even though it's talking about a dvar erva. So how exactly does Rava explain this away? Says, Rav, I don't, you know, you're making so many assumptions over here. I don't even think I need to explain it away, but I will. We're talking about Trey or Trey, okay? But Kiriyoma Ravacha Barab Min Yumi. We're not talking about Trey or Trey where they contradict each other. We're talking about Trey or Trey where the second set of Edim say that the first two Edim are absolute phonies because we don't know what happened with Yanai. But one thing we do know is that these two Edim that claim to have seen this mice in Modi'in, they were not in Modi'in on that day. They were actually with us taking a tour with Barnea at the Kotel. So how in the world could they have said what they said? So that's Hazama. Okay, Hazama is a Kiddush HaKrada. We always believe the second group of Edim. So it's not Trey or Trey. Fine. Therefore, it says Rava, it's a ridiculous question. How did we understand it? Or you know what I could say? You know what Rabbi Yitzchak explained? Rabbi Yitzchak explained that what happened is that two witnesses came and they said, yes, it's true that she was captured. We were there, and in order to save Yanai's mother, we actually managed to dress up a shivcha like his mother. We smuggled the mother out, and we put the shivcha instead of her, and therefore the mother was with us the whole time until she got out from these kidnappers. And therefore there was no chashash, because she was definitely not raped. The woman that they did rape was a shivcha, if they raped anybody. But she definitely wasn't there. Okay, there goes your rayas, says Rava to Abaya. Now, you want me to bring a raya to my shita, and that we never look at an Eid Echad when it comes to Dvar Erva, even like this? I'll prove it to you. Because Ditznan, actually it's a brayas, not a mishnah, but Omer Rebbe Shimon, there was this maisa b'megura shel diskim b'yavna. So there was this pool in the Barnea. This is definitely in Barnea's neighborhood. Now the question is, does he know where? No, Barnea, it was not filled with Schweppes. It was filled with water. You cannot be tevel in Schweppes, and we'll see that the whole...
This was drawn from that pool.
Why does it say Schweppes on it? It's another one of these tour guides... craziness. Yeah, they're going to be selling you real water from the Megura Shel Diskim. Unbelievable.
It's actually a speech impediment. It says Schlepp, not Schwepp.
Mm-hmm. I hear. Okay. So, this was the big famous mikveh in Yavne, which, of course, Barnea was been tevel in many times. And it used to be Shehaisa Omedes Shalema, Becheska Shalema. So people were using this for years. This was the clear mikveh that had been measured. It was definitely Arba Yimsah. And then one day they said, you know what, let's measure it. It looks like the water's a little low. They find out that there's no Arba Yimsah there anymore. So then what's the halacha? So Rabbi Tarfon said, look, anything that you assumed is tahar, because you had been tayvel in that mikveh at the time that it was considered to be shlema, you can still keep as tahar. So, Hayar Rabbi Tarfon mitaher, and Rabbi Akiva said, no, you can't. It's tame. So what are they arguing about? So Amar Rabbi Tarfon here, we have an actual brisa that describes the whole machlokas, the discussion between them. Amar Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says to Rabbi Akiva, listen, this mikveh had a cheskes sholem, right? Okay. Now, misafei katabala chasro. So now you are coming to say that, well, you know, I mean, maybe it was chasr 2 years ago also, you know, so everything, you, Rabbi Akiva, are saying everything that is from the point on that we had measured it for sure is a suffix. So therefore, you are basically coming as anti a chazakah. We had a chazakah of shleimus on the mikveh. You're coming to say, no, maybe it was chasr before. How do I know when it lost the water? Maybe it lost the water the next minute after we measured it. Al tachasrenu misafek. You can't say that the chazakah should be ignored. You don't know. So keep a cheskas kashrus on the mikveh. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says, excuse me, Rabbi Tarfon, but Adam zeh becheskas tamehu amed. I understand. You want to say somebody went, was tovel in the mikveh. Why was he tovel in the mikveh? Because it was a nice swimming pool. He was tovel in the mikveh because he was tameh. So he had a cheskas tumah. He went into a mikveh that you do not know for sure was a kosher mikveh. So then how do you have a right to take off his cheskas tumah? You, therefore, misafik atabala taro, you're only coming to be metayer him with a suffix. So why be metayer him with a suffix? He should remain tame, or something that was tavul in this mikveh should remain tame, because it is a suffix. Says Rabbi Tarfon, listen, I'm asking you, what would be the din like this? Imagine a case like this. A guy is a kohen, and he's been omed, he's makriv agav mizbeach, and he's sitting there and he's bringing karbonas, and he's on the mizbeach. Now he's, for years, he's brought all these karbonas, okay? So we've suddenly find out, oh my gosh, this kohen is a ben grusha, ben chalutza. Now we've got thousands of people that brought their karbonas, and now they're going to have to re-bring all their karbonas, chatas, and everything. I mean, what's going to be the din? As you know, we're going to see why this is true, but as you know, the din is that anything that was done up until the time that we found out that he's a ben grusha, ben chalutza, is actually kosher. Well, I can prove to you, and we're all agreed, that the Torah says that it was all kosher. So, if that's the case, this should be exactly the same thing. Basically, we're saying that up until this point, since we assumed it was kosher, we consider it to be kosher. Now, Tosis points out that this is a ridiculous metaphor that Rabbi Tarfon is bringing, because the halacha is that by where the kohen turns out to be definitely a ben grusha ben chalutza, even there, which makes no sense, even there all the karbonas that he brought are kosher. So why are they kosher? Only because the Torah is mechadesh, a completely new din. And we've learned it out from a pasuk that a kohen, where it was not known that he was pasul, even if now retroactively we find out 100% that he was pasul, the aveda that he does is kosher because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him that kashrus. Fine. We'll see where we learn it from. So what does that have to do with this case? In this case, if we actually knew for a fact when the mikveh became pasul, everybody would agree that everything was tummy and that it wouldn't be kosher. How is Rabbi Tarfon bringing a raya from something that is completely irrelevant to this case over here where we have a suffix? That's crazy. So therefore, Tosis explains that there's a lot here between the lines. And actually, they're arguing about two things, says the Ri. They're arguing about the status of all of the tahiris that was done on this mikveh, where over there is a machlokes, whether we go according to the chazaka of the mikveh as the primary thing, Or we go according to the chazaka of the individual who went in and had a cheskas of an Adam Tomei. Fine. Where we don't know at what point the mikveh became chaser. But there's another machlokas. The other machlokas is a mikveh where a Kohen went to be Tevel, did the Aveda, and we have witnesses that say that at the time that he had gone to be Tevel, it was already chaser. And he did the Aveda. So even there, Rabbi Tarfon is saying that the Aveda is kosher because it's not any different than a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. That's how Tosfos understands the sugya, which otherwise is very difficult to understand. What's the comparison to a case where it's mamish a new pasuk that teaches us this halacha? Okay, we shall talk about this. So, let's assume that this is the case, and Rabbi Tarfon is bringing a raya from Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. It should be the same thing as a suffix here of Tuma. Omer Rabbi Akiva, you want to make metaphors over here? This is a mixed metaphor. Let me give you the correct metaphor, okay? I'm going to tell you also. You like to make a story out of it. I'll tell you a story, right? A guy, so over here we've got a Kohen. He's bringing korbanos. Now we find out that he's a Balmum. And he's always been a Balmum. Now over there, is there any question that all of the Aveda that he did up until this point is pasul? So that's true over here. If we find out that the mikveh is doesn't have its abar mitzchaser, so then we have to consider the guy to be tameh. Says Rabbi Tarfon, okay, you want to have a competition about which mushul is better? All right. You say it's like a balmum, and I say it's like a ben grusha ben chalutza. So let's sit back and have an honest confrontation about this, you know? Let's think about it. Who do you think it's more similar to? Let me know more. If you're right, and this is, or I'm right. If I'm right, and it's Dom Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, you're ready to agree that we'll give it the same din as a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, right? Okay. And I agree that if you're right, and it's really similar to your case of a Balmum, so then I'm ready to treat it like a Balmum. So let's talk about that. Says Rabbi Akiva, okay, let's talk about that. I say a mikveh is dependent on a yochid. If one single aid comes along and says, I measured this mikveh and it is pasul, okay? Well, the same thing is true if a single aid comes along and he says, this guy is a Balmum. If one person comes along and says that a Kohen is a Balmum, which we'll get to in a little bit, why we believe him, but for sure we believe that witness, right? And you are bringing a case of a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, which we would never believe in Eid Echad. We would only believe two Eidim. Now you see why Rava says this is a Raya. Okay, but we'll get back to it. Furthermore, says Rabbi Akiva, the whole situation is not comparable. A mikveh is a problem in the actual mikveh, okay? A balmum is a problem in the actual goof of the Kohen, in exactly the same way that not having arboim saw is a problem in the actual goof of the mikveh. Now, what are we talking about? Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, we're over there. It's nothing in his goof. It's a question of whether an avera was done in his conception, that's all. And therefore, you can't prove anything from that case of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, which is not dependent indirectly the information that is coming from a witness. Omele Rabbi Tarfon, oh my God, I never even thought of that. You're a genius. Akiva, kol ha-poresh mimcha ke-poresh min ha-chayim. Anybody who doesn't stick with you and learn from you might as well resign from life itself. You're amazing. Okay, so Rabbi Tarfon gave in. Now, says Rava, okay, now, you tell me what this means, all right? I say that when Rabbi Akiva said, and Rabbi Tarfon said, you're a genius. So what did Rabbi Akiva say? Hi, Balmum, Shepsula B'yochid. What does that mean? It means that there was one witness, Psula B'yochid, right? So tell me what the case is. If the Kohen says, no, it's not true, I'm not a Balmum, would we believe the Eid Echad? No, because everybody agrees that if an Eid Echad is b'hakhoshas of the Baldover, it's not believed. We'd have to be talking about that he was quiet, and therefore we're believing him. And if that's the case, my dear Abaye, according to you, that would be the same issue by the Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, where somebody says you're Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, he does not respond, and he was Shasik, and it says over here that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon were Meide, that the mikveh is Psula B'yachid, the Baal Mum is Psula B'yachid, but the Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza is not Psula B'yachid, you need two witnesses. Which is exactly what I'm telling you, says Rava. If we're dealing with something that has to do with the Dvar Erva, then an Eid Echad would have been completely irrelevant, even if he would have been Shasik. So you see clearly, everybody is made up that the din of Dover Dover from Dvar Erva means that this idea of Eid Echad Nama Bisurin is inapplicable totally. Whereas Abaye says, I disagree. The Kohen was absolutely being makhish. And he was saying, I am not a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. And that's the reason that we would not believe in Eid Echad. So then why do we believe the Eid Echad when he says you're a Baal Mum? Because the Eid says to the Kohen, okay, you claim you're not a Baal Mum. Let's see, strip, buddy, and we'll see whether you're a Baal Mum or not. Shlach, throw your clothes off and show us. You're not a Baal Mum. Okay. So in other words, what this means is that an Eid Echad is certainly Neman to put us in a position where we have to find out. We don't just talk about it. Well, okay. If there's a problem, let's see if it's true or not. That's what he was saying. Not because there's a specific issue that we have an Eid Echad versus Shnei Eidim because of the issue of show us. That's what he was saying. Rabbi Akiva was saying, look, you got an issue with the mikveh? You have an Eid Echad? Measure it, okay? We could be omit on the truth. So obviously, until we're omit on the truth, we're going to accept the doubts. You have a question whether the guy's a Baal Mum? Check it out. Is he a Baal Mum or not a Baal Mum? That's what it means when it says psula begufa. There's something here that is objective. Go find out what the objective truth is. You're not going to throw out an aid where we can find out the truth, are you? That's what he was saying. Moshe Inkin, when it comes to Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, we're over there. It's just a matter of our finding out what's happening. We have no way of objectively establishing it. That, says Abaye, is exactly what it meant when he said, Mikve psula begufo, Balmim psula begufo. That's what begufo means. But don't bring me Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, where we would have no idea unless we go to other people to tell us what happened. That's psula b'acherim. So there, if we can measure the mikveh now, or we could strip the guy and check out whether he's a Baal Mum, so then that's not in any way similar to Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. But meanwhile, you said something that is so weird. You said a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, his avodah is kshera, even if we know for a fact that he was a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, but where do we know that from? So it seems that we have various sources for this. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, the Amar Kro, the Torah, when it came to give the bracha to Pinchas. So what does it say there? I just drank. Stop it. Vaitalo lezaro acharav. When it says zaro acharav, it means bein zera kasher and bein zera pasul. All of his children are roi to be kohanim. So we understand that to mean that if, look, obviously it can't mean that it's kosher if he knows he's a halal and we know he's a halal. So what is it saying? It's saying he has a right to do the Aveda so long as he doesn't know that he's possible for the Aveda. That's the pshat. Okay. If that's the pshat, listen, there's an amazing, an amazing Ibn Ezra that according to the Meshech Chachma, is a fabulous explanation of the pasuk. Okay? The Ibn Ezra says that the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu was not given the kahuna and Aaron HaKohen is the one who's a Kohen is because Moshe Rabbeinu was married to the daughter of Yisro, and that's a psul of Yichus, and therefore her children would not have been able to be Kohanim. Therefore, Aaron, who married Bas Nachshon ben Aminadav, his children were Kohanim, right? Okay. Now, when afterwards, Pinchas, who was also a grandson of Yisro, because Elazar ben Aaron married Benot Putiel. So then, obviously, he had the same soul as Moshe Rabbeinu, who was married to Yisro, right? Amazing Ebenezer. So because of that, he wasn't given the right to be a Kohen. Then when he killed Zimri, what does it say? Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, hineni noten lo et briti shalom, meaning that we're going to look at him as if he's Meyuchas, and the fact that his mother is Mibnot Putiel is not going to be a psul. Vahayta lo lezaro acharav, forever this halacha will be true, that even though the mother was posel because she was a grusha, a chalutza, that does not posel the aveda, and instead we go according to the father. Is that brilliant? So therefore, it's a direct implication of Pinchas. It's not stam that we're learning that kahuna is lo lezaro acharav. It's bedafka, the person who was posel because of the psul of his mother, is in fact kosher, unless we know otherwise. It's like so stunning. What a beautiful shot. Anyway, so that's one approach. Avuah d'Shmuel says, no, that's not the raya. The raya is from here, Me'acha. Borech Hashem chelo ufo'al yadav tirtzeh. So what does it mean, chelo, when we give this brocha over here to Levi? Chelo? That means even chulin shabo, even the ones who should not have the complete kedushin ha'kuhuna because they're mechulalim, are anything that they did in the Beis HaMikdash is mekubal, as long as we don't know at the time that avodah is being done that he was mechulal. Rabbi Yanai says, I have another pasuk, Mi'acha. It says, when you're bringing bikurim, ubatal ha'kohen asher yeh bayamim ahem, go to the kohen that is a kohen in your time. Now, what is that supposed to mean? That what? That if we're in a back to the future kind of situation, and you're bringing your Bikurim in a different time, that you're not allowed to give it to the Kohen at that time, you have to go back to your own time and take your time machine back. Is that what it means? I mean, come on, this Doc guy is a nut. I mean, so why would I have thought that you would have to bring it to a Kohen in your days? Obviously, you have to bring it to a Kohen in your days. Ah, you know what this means. It means to the one who was a Kohen at that time. Now, it turns out that we find out he never was a Kohen. Okay, what do you mean, never was a Kohen? Retroactively, never was a Kohen. But at the time, was he a Kohen? Yes, okay. So then everything is defined by what things are at that moment in time. So this is talking about a Kohen that was kosher at the time. And then he was Nitchalel. And you thought that the guy was a Kohen, and you gave him the Bikurim, and you would think, oy vavoy, now I have to go and bring my Bikurim. No, it was the Kohen at the time. Beautiful. Why do we take for granted that the Balmum, on the other hand, is going to be puzzle when we find out afterwards? Now, getting back to Pinchas, where it says over there, hineni noten lo et briti shalom. What that means is briti shalem. This bris that he's usable even when he has a psul from the mother, that's kishu shalem. The lo kishu chaser. Excuse me. It doesn't say shalem. Come on, let's be honest. It says briti shalom. Shalom means shalom. I mean, where do you get shalem? Oh, says Rav Nachman. Aha! You don't know, huh? You never look carefully at the vav of the word shalom, where it's ketiyahi. That vav is broken, and it's hanging loose, as halacha l'Moshe miSinai. So that vav is ketiyah, and therefore we read it as if it says shalem and not shalom. We've talked about in the past that this is merames to the whole story of ketiyah bat shalom, right? It's an amazing mice. Okay, well, I won't go into it now, but in any event, this raises amazing questions about the kashrus of Sifrei Torah. Because over here, it's being claimed that the vav is ketiyah. What does that mean? I mean, this is crazy. The Rambam doesn't even bring the din that the vav is ketiyah. And neither does the Rif, and neither does the Rosh. So what happened to this Gemara? So look, the Rip Kiveger writes in a tshuva. He says, when I was Zocha to write my own Sefer Torah, I was mitzava the Sefer that he shouldn't follow. There's a Sefer written by one of the Balei Kabbalah called Or Torah, and he says what it means is that the top part of the Vav should be the size of a Yud, and then it should be broken, and then you have a piece underneath. I don't agree to that, said the Reb Kiveger, and I'm choshesh that anybody who would make a bracha on that Sefer Torah would be a bracha of Atola. So I told the Sefer to write a Vav Zirata, which is a smaller Vav. And in order to be Yotze L'chumra, because the Ritva writes Beferish not to have a Vav Zira, and he actually says it should have a break in the middle. So what I told him to do is to write a Vav Zira. And then what you should do is put in a line underneath. So that way you would have both a Vav that's kosher, and you would have a Vav Zira. Anyway, this is an amazing issue, because the Reb Kiveger went to figure out what to do with the Sefer Torah. Most people just actually go ahead, and because the Rambam and the Rosh and the Rif didn't bring it, they just go ahead and write the Sefer without being Makpin on the Vav Ketiyah. Okay, so this is something that's very Nageya, Hilchas Sefer Torah. It's not our sugya. I just want to point it out. Okay, Rabbi Isai, this brings us to a very long end of a long daf. I apologize. We have to make up for the three cases of Shmuel that I really had wanted to finish yesterday.